place. They're everywhere. They're raping your children in a satanic ritual.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new Ike Live show. Hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. I know we are. Dude, this is – I titled this show tonight, Bri, The Young Guns, because we have some talented
– I told you.
It's good, right? Yeah. Muscovy is good. We have some very talented young anglers on tonight. We just had the Minor Clan. Now we're getting ready to have Luminati. And Mike Figaro.
Mike Fugazi
on in just a second. Very excited to have these guys on. The story's great.
The story's phenomenal.
Can't wait to hear about it. Let me remind you, if you're watching over on
Facebook. It's like counterterrorism, dude.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Like and share the feed if you're on Facebook. We're going to enter you in a chance to win this amazing bag. Also want to say, Dave, we switched. We went from the all-day vacay to another one of...
To some liquid gold, dude.
To another one of what I call this a summer favorite for me, dude. A summer favorite.
This is their premiere.
Masagavi.
Oh, my God.
Is amazing. And you know, listen, it's good in a can, but Masagavi coming out of a bottle...
It's different.
Dude, it's so good.
I love it more than my life.
Yeah,
my
it's God, so good. Man. And here's the thing, Brian, I don't know if you knew this, but...
Yes.
I will be doing a Founders private tour.
What?
In about 3 days. I think on Tuesday, I'm going to Founders Brewery.
Are you really?
Yes.
You bastard.
On my way west. So I'm very excited to
visit
with them.
The way I would describe this, right? Like, so I was craft beer long before you guys even knew what that shit was. Right? I can't have six at Masagavi's, right?
Yes, you can.
No, you
could have four.
Pretty freaking good.
But, like, if you're coming home at night, like, you're done work or you had a long-ass day, like, two of these, it is delectable.
I mean, it's
worth whatever money it costs you to get it, man. It's so freaking good, dude. Yeah. Well done.
I put them over ice, salt the rim.
Salt the rim in a glass. God. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's almost beyond beer. It's like it's amazing, man. I don't know how they are.
And they were the only two in the fridge?
Only two in the fridge. Me and Dave got the list, too. Oh, there's a Masagavi seltzer, if you want it.
Nah.
No, you don't like the seltzer as much.
There's a stout for you to enjoy in this 100-degree heat.
Yeah.
The stout. Sounds good.
Yeah, because milk was a bad idea.
milk was a terrible idea.
All right.
Milk sour.
Right, let's get the Illuminati on. I want to talk to him. Get him on there.
Yes. Mike. I would love to get the Illuminati on. We got them queued up. And let me remind you guys, too, if you're watching, you have questions for the Illuminati when we get them on, please shoot them through. Paul, you still doing stuff? We still got some comments coming through. Anything about me owning the lake yet? I'm ready to brawl with somebody.
Surprisingly, not yet.
No, okay.
Not yet.
Paul's on his phone.
Damn it. Okay.
Hey, he's checking Facebook. That's fine.
He's jailing. I'm saying he's on his game. That's all. I'm not trying to rip him.
All right. Well, let's get him off.
Yeah, you know how many Facebook fights I had to get into for you? You don't pay me enough, dude. I know. You don't appreciate me enough.
No, you give
me
credit.
You don't even appreciate me enough.
I know.
You even know.
Like, do you think...
I got soldiers out here going to
battle
for
you. King Arthur?
Like Brian, me, and Rizzo are always standing up for you.
I know. I know. And I appreciate that, guys. Here's the thing.
King Arthur knew Percival was out there putting in work, and he let him know it. You don't even let him know. He's your Percival.
I know. Go ahead.
Take this time to make a speech.
I appreciate it. Let me say this. I appreciate it. I do appreciate that.
Okay.
But here's the other two facts about this.
Okay.
The one is everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Right. And there's a lot of stupid people.
There
in the
are
world.
Stupid people, but I value people's opinions. And if you disagree with something that I've done or something I say, that's fine. Dude,
that's
it's fucking
fine.
America. You fucking
I
say
agree
you
with that.
I don't care, right?
And that's where I'm at. People can disagree with you.
Yes.
But then they take it. Over a line.
That's true.
And that's when I got to get involved.
That's
it's
true.
Like, okay, yes, you're right. Yeah, maybe that wasn't the best. Maybe, you know, it wasn't articulated as well as it could have been. Now you've gone too fucking far.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now you're just being an asshole. Now you're just being a jerk off on Facebook with a tiny, tiny, tiny
Let me say these last two things about this topic. The next part to it is I love that I have that. I've always said this. The detractors are important.
Yeah.
They really are important.
Good for you.
They're really important for me and my brand.
Like, I hate them, but
yeah,
good for
I
you.
Know. But
I loathe the sheep.
Dude, here's the thing, and I'm trying to think of a good way to say this, but if everybody likes you and everybody, you know, there's nothing, you're just cardboard.
You're Tom Brady.
You're not being checked.
You're Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're just cardboard. Yeah. I don't want to be fucking cardboard.
Yeah.
I got you.
And then the last part of it is, you know, I'm at the stage of my career where I can say what I feel. And yeah. I'm not afraid to say what I feel because I don't give a fuck at this stage yeah. of my career. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I bet you, you know, like.
No, no. You're going to say right now, every single professional angler on
feels
all three tours feels
way.
Exact the same way, but no they won't what, step in, step
won't
up and say it.
It,
and they won't back you up when you say it.
That's
on
but
okay.
these people wouldn't that's say okay. that if they had a beer with you around us. They wouldn't say what they say, Mike. They
well,
don't know.
Regardless
you.
Of that,
they don't know them. It's you know fine. What I mean? They know yeah, what they fine. See and what's yeah. edited and put in front of them. They don't know them like we
it's
do.
Fine.
I mean,
all right.
Get the Illuminati.
Let's
on.
Get on some positive stuff. Yeah, we want the
Illuminati. Tired of their
on.
Shit. Get them on.
Yeah, join us now. I'm excited, Bri. This has been a while in the making.
Indeed.
We talked about having these guys on for a while.
Champs.
And it finally happened. Yes, we got some champions on tonight. Yeah, and we've got Lou and Mike joining us right now on Ike Live Show. What's up, guys? Yes. Yes.
Hey, real quick, I want to just announce a toast to all them college guys.
My guy.
Running $8,000 boats.
Heck yeah.
Toast
there
to
it
them.
Is. Salute.
Salute. All right, guys.
He just cheers all the guys with the $80,000 boats.
That's all right.
That's all right. Listen,
that was so badass.
Listen, here's the coolest thing.
Oh, that's right, because he's driving around in a goddamn Volkswagen. Yeah.
Dude, the boat is older than he is.
Yeah.
It was born before him.
Lou, I missed that joke.
Beautiful, Lou.
Well, here's the cool thing, guys. When I saw Brian, when you guys won, Brian, like, oh, I don't know, what was it, like a week or two later, immediately started sending me images and the story.
Of the boat.
Of the boat. And I, like, when I focused in on the boat and saw, you know, like the ripped seats and just the, you know, it was so hardcore. It honestly took me back to when we were competing at that level, you know, whether it was an old beat-up bass boat or a John boat that was falling apart or Dave cutting the trolling motor shaft in 20 pieces and it's hanging on by a thread. It reminded me of that, and you know, I love it. I love it, man. It's competition, you know. You don't have to have the fucking Lamborghini to be the best in the world, and you guys were the best.
When
that's
they first
awesome.
Won, the article came my way, and I was waiting to see it was your old boat because I'm looking at pictures as I'm scrolling down. I know I was on the toilet, and I'm like reading the article, and I'm waiting to find out it was your old boat. I'm like, man, what the fuck do you
my old boat's in worse condition than that boat. Believe me. Yeah. It wasn't even afloat.
Nah, it's good article on you guys, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate it, and when I tell you, I mean, Michael vouched for this, we had to fix something on the boat the night before every single tournament. I mean, fuel pumps, trolling, you name it. Everything went wrong the night before. Always the last day of practice.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in charge of the outboard? Who had the better expertise for the outboard?
Nobody.
Oh, shit.
Nobody.
You guys went, Dr. YouTube?
Yeah, Google. Yeah. Google was the expert on the outboard.
Oh, shit.
All right, guys, real quick, for our viewers and listeners that don't know the story, let's back up a little bit.
Good
talk
job.
About it. So, bring us back to the tournament. Tell us about what the event was. There was a lot on the line. This was a big moment for you guys. And then tell us about the boat. Give us the year, the model. Was it a boat that you guys owned? Was it a borrow boat? Give us the background on it.
Yeah, so it's a 1996 Ranger. I got it when I was 17, I want to say. It's got a 115 horsepower. Like Brian said, it's older than me. I got to college I just graduated in May, so 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did all right throughout, you know, my college career. And this year, Michael and I decided to team up. And I think Michael's it's the story of us coming together is a pretty good one. So,
yeah, I mean, so I met Lewis my sophomore year, so 2 years ago, and I knew he fished the college series, and I'd never really fished before. Kind of fished some local ponds around the area. And I was always like, Lewis, we should fish together. And I know it meant a big deal to Lewis. And Lewis was like, oh, I always fish solo. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I don't want to get in his way of his dreams. And then one night we were night fishing out on Lake Norman, and he was like, hey, I kind of had like a something come in my brain. And I was like, what happened? He was like, I kind of want to fish the college series with you. And I was like,
I was taking a shit in a porta potty while
some of the best ideas come in the toilet. I can tell you that.
Did we just become best friends, right? Like that's what just happened right there.
Yeah.
Yo, speaking of which, Mike, when you first invited me to be a correspondent, I was taking a break. I was in the stall at work on the bathroom, swiping through Instagram when I got your message.
Yes.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Dude, a dump brings out the best in people.
Yep.
It does. Really does.
It changes your life.
It really does.
Why is there such singular focus when that's happening?
I know. I don't know.
It does.
I mean, these two dudes formed a marriage made in heaven on that moment.
It's amazing.
It's cleansing.
It's amazing.
I mean, getting back, you know, not to focus on the X's and O's, but we went into the season thinking we had a serious shot just based upon the schedule and kind of our vibe going into it. We did all right at Harris Chain. We finished one spot. I think it was like 3 ounces.
Yeah, 3 ounces.
Out of qualifying at the first tournament. Then it was at Norman, which, Mike, I know you have close ties to, and which is it's 20 minutes from us here at UNC Charlotte.
Nice.
Did well there, came in 13th. Somehow, by God's grace, we came in 17th at Norfolk. Had no idea what was going on going into it. And Saginaw is where the real story lies, because I had this weird inkling feeling that Tawas Bay, it's 50 miles from the takeoff at Saginaw Bay, which is Lake Huron, and it's big.
Big water.
Yeah, it's like Huron.
Big water.
Yeah.
Yo, Dave, hold on. They had no electronics. So he's got a 7-inch at
I read the article.
The console,
I love it.
And up front, You had a what the hell did you have?
A speaking flasher.
You had a speaking spell or something?
Yeah, we basically had an etch a sketch.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, man. You son of a bitch. I was gonna say that.
Oh man.
But only for the first event.
Yeah.
After the first event, the fuse died. Blew on it, and we just said screw it. We don't need that.
That's amazing.
Right off.
Fished the other three events with nothing on the front deck.
John Cox style.
Just
I love
skills,
it.
Dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dude, you guys are the best.
Take it away.
but I do want to, before you guys continue the story, dude, that is big water. That is, you're essentially fishing an ocean at that point.
Yeah.
It is an ocean.
It's like a great lake.
Dude, it's it's giant.
Yeah.
It's big water. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, no, so the best part is that 96 Ranger, and Mike, I know you run Basscast, but those old Rangers were built like nothing, not like the new Rangers. All my buddies, all these new Camus, Phoenix, you know, you name the boat, it fell apart on day one.
Yeah.
We came back in one piece.
Wow. Heck yeah.
I mean, we
shout
we
out
went
to Forrest
50 miles.
And Nina Wood. Shout out to Forrest and Nina.
Yeah. We went 50 miles. We did okay. I think we were in like 20th place after day one. And day two, I mean, we looked at each other. It's a 30-minute idle out to the bay at Saginaw. And just said we were behind. We went into the event 1 point back or 1 point ahead in team of the year standings, and we went out there just saying, let's just go have fun with it.
Yeah.
And we went out there on a flat and just tore 3.5-4 pound smallmouth up. Just
wow.
Air dig, Ned rig, just tore them up and came back and said, look, we did what we could do, and it, you know, the chips fell where they did, and here we are.
That's awesome. I love to hear those stories, how it comes together, you know, and it's always like magic that happens. And it seems like that last day, that was a magic day for you.
How far into the relationship of being like partners on a boat did this occur?
Probably like a year and a half, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Because I don't think I'd ever bass fished in my life. I might have bass fished two times, and Lewis was like, hey, like, I fished for, I went to Charlotte as well, or I still go to Charlotte. And he was like, hey, like our club does this little tournament thing on like local lakes around here. He was like, you should join me one time. And I'd never fished off a bass boat in my life. So I fished with him and we ended up winning. And Lewis was like, yeah, we should do this again. So we fished, I think like, what was it? 7 or 8 tournaments.
Yeah. And won most of them.
Yeah. Well, the first year we won every single tournament we fished together through the school. And that's kind of how we became partners, and then he asked me to fish the college series.
So Lou, you seem like the Yoda in this whole thing. What did you see? What did you see in your? What did you see in him to recruit him? What did you see?
Master Yoda.
What did you see in Luke?
Guy. Come
Master
on,
Master Yoda.
No, I mean, on the boat together, we gel so well. You know, for somebody who's only been bass fishing 3 years, this kid knows how to catch some freaking fish. It's genuinely impressive.
Nice.
And we're more than anything, we're just brothers and friends, and you know, you can't really ask for more than that. It's I've always had a tough time in my, like I was saying earlier, I fished alone for 3 years, and I had a tough time kind of keeping my head on straight and keeping a positive outlook and just being in the right mental space. And I think Michael really helped me out with that and contributed a lot of fish to our year's total, and it was just a perfect situation.
So now, and your time together, I'm asking you this as a 22-year-old, maybe in my 20s, all right? I'm asking you as a 50-year-old. This question's for like the younger guys. Well, you guys pull any broads? Like, how do you pull broads like doing this thing in college? Have you been able to do it? Have you figured it out? Because it's kind of like, you know, like Indiana Jones had to figure out how to like, you know, shine the beam. You know, like no one can figure out how to pull broads as a bass angler. Did you guys figure it out?
So I texted Brian, and I were talking probably about a week ago about getting on here and figuring it all out. And the unfortunate circumstances that we go to UNC Charlotte, if you go to Brian or Bethel or McKendree or Adrian or any like the cool fishing college schools, fishing's like football, dude. Like it's big deal.
Really?
UNC Charlotte, the chicks don't care. So the answer is
identical to going to Triton.
Sounds like our our defeated.
It was actually a negative for us. Not only did they not care, it was bad. It was a negative.
I was trying to give some of the 18-year-olds watching some hope.
Yeah.
No, there is none.
If you come to Charlotte,
yo, Dave, I'm 26 and still single, so there's no hope. No.
Well, you got to get on the other side of the guardrail, Paul, and you fucking find somebody.
That's how it is.
You can't be on the weed side of it. You got to be on the street side.
With your finger out, hitchhiking.
That's how you die, Mike. That's how you get killed.
I know.
You can't be on the tick side, dude.
I want to know this, and you got to give me a serious, real answer. When you guys won this title, and it's a big deal, right? It's a really big deal. Were some of the other teams visibly frustrated or pissed off?
Yes.
I want to know because, like, in my mind, like I'm closing my eyes and I'm saying, here's like rich daddy kids.
Yep.
With, you know,
trust fund babies,
$100,000 bass boat with 6 units up front, 6 units in the back. They're towing with a 2022 Suburban with fucking giant 30s on it.
And these dudes got Goodwill cleats.
Right. Like, I mean, was there visible disdain for you guys? Was there?
Yep.
Say yes.
Please say
Be
yes.
Be honest. It's like live. You can't lie on this show.
Honestly.
We all grew up poor. We wouldn't hear you say yes.
For the most part, no. I mean, I'm sure there was some.
Right, but it was sneaky and behind your back.
Yeah, behind the scenes, there probably definitely was some.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it was honestly. So let me take you back a little bit. So prior to that tournament, yes. Not so much like angst or anything like that, but I mean, I remember at Harris Chain, for example.
In the lock.
Yeah, we were locking out of Griffin, heading back to Eustis, going back to weigh-in. And there were probably three boats in there. And I'm sure you guys know when you're like heading up to the lock and they're about to start closing it. And I'm like waving down the dude, you know, trying to get him to stop just so we could get back to weigh-in. And I wave him down. He opens it back up, and we had in there. There's three boats in there already. And we kind of like slowly idle in. I grab the rope, and they're all bullshitting, having a good time, you know, cutting it up about their day. And we had probably like 15 or 16 pounds in the live well, like not a bad bag. And, you know, the lock closes, the whole nine. And I'm like, hey, like, you know, how's it going, guys? You guys have a good day? Shit you not, this is what we got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Wow.
But going back to Saginaw, honestly, like after day one, we got a lot of support and it was really cool. There were a lot of guys that came up to us in the mornings and stuff, and so we're really rooting for you guys.
Yeah.
Right on. So you know, the tides kind of turned once we started catching the shit out of them.
That's all. Yeah. Well, we love it. We love it. We're very much the common man here, and we love the stories like this because it feels good.
But like we're good. So Lou, where you're from, that might be one of the prettiest towns that no one knows about in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I work for UPS. Yeah. I've been in there a lot. I've been in them probably like I've been there a whole lot of times.
A whole lot.
Making deliveries. A whole lot. Dude, Brio, yeah. Where he lives is right on the ocean. It is absolutely, it's like, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it is one of the coolest towns.
Really?
So take us through that town and what your experience was there. Did you grow up there your whole life?
Yeah, so I grew up between Brielle and Wall and Manasquan, kind of that whole area.
Okay.
And you're absolutely right. I know my parents found that place, I want to say, in like 96, 97.
Yeah.
and after living all over New Jersey, said this is it. This is the spot. And you're right. It's a gorgeous little town.
Oh, I know, dude. I bet. So what high school did you go to being right there?
So I actually went to Christian Brothers Academy.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're elite. You're deep state. I didn't even know that. All right.
Deep state.
Yeah.
You say elite until you look at the boat, you know?
That's because your parents didn't subscribe to it, dude. That's why. That's why you drove in that boat. Don't you be playing with me.
I grew up like hardcore. All I want to do is saltwater fish.
Yeah.
And when I was probably 11 or 12, one of my buddies in grade school was like, dude, you got to try bass fish. And I was like, man, that sounds like the lamest shit in the world. screw that. I want to catch a bluefish or a striper or a tuna. Like, let's do that.
How good are those little lakes coming into Brielle?
Terrible.
All right. I mean, I only ever drove past them. I never stopped there to fish them. You know what I mean?
No, they're like the rest of Jersey.
Okay. guys have no idea what his neighborhood looks like. I can't even describe it.
Describe it.
It's different than anything you would see. It's beautiful. It's. I'm telling you, it's one of the prettiest neighborhoods you would ever see in New Jersey.
Huh.
I don't know how to describe it.
Does it look like Runnymede?
Haddonfield?
No. It's a combination of everything you would know. It's a combination of, like, beautiful Cape Cods, Victorians. It's everything, and everything is pretty. No one's house blows.
Wow.
Everything is pretty there, right, Luke?
And, it is exactly what it's like, but it's at the same time it's still like a humble kind of town.
Everyone works that's there.
It sounds fucking perfect.
No, you have to see this town. It's amazing, dude. There's nothing like it, man.
Don't get me wrong. There's some people that have, you know, summer homes there that are gajillionaires.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The majority of the town is like just down to earth, good people. You know, not beachy people, but kind of like old salty people, if you know what I mean. It's a cool town.
No, for sure, man.
But, I got into bass fishing, and it's a drug. I mean, we all know it. We're all bitten by it.
So you grew up fishing squan?
Yeah. I the first, like, real lake I grew up fishing was Manasquan Reservoir. And to this day, it's one of my favorite places to fish it. Honestly, great. Living here, I miss it like hell. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah. Okay. So to give you this will be a reality check for the age of us in this room. So
I think I know where this is going.
You know where this is going. So our club, Top Rod Bassmasters, actually fished Manasquan the year it opened. It opened. I can't remember the year. I'm going to take a guess.
They weren't born.
And say it was 93. It was early 90s.
Yeah.
Early to mid 90s.
92, 93.
Yeah. And we fished it the year it opened. And I distinctively remember this because, dude, we all launched and we're in crawdads, we're in John boats. The trees were so thick.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you could not hardly get through the free. The trees were thick. The trees were alive. It was like,
dude, you remember the mist that was on the water? I thought I was in a Berkeley Live commercial. Like, what was that scent they had? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Berkeley Strike.
That's what I thought I was in.
The fishing was so good that I can't remember the name of the island, but the island over by the Osprey.
Yeah.
Island out there. That was so thick. All I did the whole day was circle that island. And every pass, I just caught him.
Throwing a crankbait.
Into the trees. Just caught him. Every pass, just.
I remember my old Eagle Lowrance. I remember my old Eagle Lowrance. I couldn't believe I was catching fish in 15 feet of water.
Yeah, you were like 15 feet. You're like, oh my God, it's the abyss.
Like, how are they living down there?
You thought they were going to blow up.
Like, how are they alive? How are they alive 15 feet below
They're
going
to get the bends and blow up.
They only live in 3 feet.
We were so naive. I remember, like,
cavemen.
Fishing with the Bassmaster Juniors. I fished with all the hooked guys, Randy Barron, Junior, all them guys. They kind of molded me into the fisherman I am. And I remember researching Manasquan and seeing the Delaware Valley video of you catching them on a crankbait.
Heck,
when the trees, it wasn't the lake it was when I was fishing it.
Cranking. Dude, cranking was the deal back when those trees were alive. And that was an awesome video.
Norman DD22. Yeah.
Dude, in that one, I used an old Bagley's. One of those original, like, wooden Bagley's. And I never forget. It was the deal where they were only on the trees that were horizontal. The horizontals. Like, that was the deal. Like, you would go through the trees and look for a horizontal, throw it, you'd catch one. Well, I threw it a horizontal, and I got a bite, and I'm like, here's one. And I'm around them. It's a little one. And I look, and it's a yellow perch. And it's a good yellow perch. It's like a, 11, 12-inch yellow perch. And I'm like, it's just a perch. And, dude, I swear to God, as I said that, I took another, reeling them in, and a 7-pounder came up and ate it. And I caught the perch and the 7-pounder on the same cast.
So
on this show, craziest thing in the world.
Are you kidding me, dude?
It actually happened.
Of course. I'm not even shocked. That Mike would.
Right, exactly.
I started tuning out as soon as it got amazing because I knew it was him. So you know what I remember most about that place that was so painful?
Yes.
Being forced to wear the vests.
The life vest taking the crop off.
And I was a sheep, and I wore the vest, and I had a vest, dude. I had a Field and Stream vest. I looked like the door gunner. I looked like the door gunner on Platoon. It was like, get some! Bah, 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 bah. And he was smoking. I had this giant fucking vest that was like 6 inches thick, dude. And I remember having to fish a tournament in it. Man, I had like sunburn in that.
That
was horrible.
That was pre-inflate. That was pre those little
self-inflates. Yeah, you really didn't have much choice. Like, my vest could have I could have dove on a grenade for the team.
I think Brian had a ski vest on.
You never learned the secret. The secret is the second you hear the guy at the ramp start up the outboard, you go as far into the trees as you can, and he can't do shit about it.
So, right. Lou, it was a different generation. Our generation, we kind of respected, unfortunately, authority a little bit more than we should have.
I didn't.
I did. I mean,
Dave definitely did.
So you didn't wear your armor. I know you had an orange one. You had the big orange one with the strap across it.
I did.
It was like the Brian Bosworth collar.
It went under your crotch.
Yeah. Like, I definitely tried not to wear it.
You could have survived an Alaskan boat sinking that thing, dude. That thing.
Yeah.
Buried sea.
Why do they get to make up their own rules?
They're gross.
Yeah.
They're gross.
It's awful.
It is awful.
I would just like to say, F whoever came up with that rule.
I'll toast to that.
Yeah.
I mean,
F them and F everybody else that thinks that they need to make up their own rules.
And for the younger generation that thinks they just all became fruitcakes with rules, they were fruitcakes when we were your age,
too. That's
true.
They were fruitcakes back then, too. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Manasquan's a good place.
It is.
So where's your partner from? Where are you from, Fugazi?
Fugazi. Fugaz.
I mean, I would correct y'all. It is Fugaro.
All right.
But I'll give y'all some slack because day one of the first college tournament I fished, they're announcing us and we're going out and they go, Lou Minetti and Michael Fugaro.
Yeah.
I must have changed ethnicities overnight.
Fugaro, that's
fucking
amazing.
Awesome.
Where are you from, dude?
I'm from Holly Springs, North Carolina, which is around the Raleigh area.
Okay.
So, like, I'm close to Jordan Lake, Harris, like
Falls,
those lakes over there.
Hell yeah. Good lakes. Well, they used to be good. Before MLF came there and ruined them.
How's your Spanish rice?
He always gives me shit because when I first started bass fishing, it was like probably maybe the 10th time I went out. I went to Sharon Harris, and before I went to like Dick's Sporting Goods and bought the little GT Search Bait swim bait. And it was around the spawn, but I didn't know anything about it. And so I'm walking through the woods, fishing from the bank, and I cast out, and I'm, like, reeling it. And I was like, I'm stuck. And I just, like, keep reeling, and I still think I'm stuck. And I look up and I just see my line swimming off. And I was like, oh, I might not be stuck. So I keep reeling. I fight that thing for probably like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. And it gets up to the bank. And I was like, this is the biggest bass I've ever seen. That's my PB to the day. Like, nice. It had to be anywhere from 8 to 9 pounds. I didn't have a scale on me, but.
Hell yeah. That ain't no Jersey fish.
You hear that, Paul? Paul, that came from the bank.
Yeah.
Fishing, Paul.
In North Carolina. Not New Jersey.
It's possible. It's not probable.
From the asparagus side of the guardrail, Paul.
Yes.
Wasn't the Jersey record caught at Manantico from the bank?
Manantico.
Nah,
Manantico.
I don't know if he was on the bank. I didn't hear that.
I don't know.
It might have been.
It might have been snagged off a bed, what I heard.
Is that right?
I heard that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of conspiracies about that.
Man, that was so long ago. How does anybody know? Come on.
Dude, it was 83, I think he caught it.
Robert Isley.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. I actually had my first 5-pounder, first 5-pound bass, and my first pickerel over 20 inches. Both of them mounted by him up in
by that guy?
Yeah, Robert.
Why don't we get him on Ike Live? Why has he never been on Ike Live?
I don't know.
Damn.
Why is the New Jersey? Is he still alive?
I don't know, because last time I talked to him was when I got my 5-pounder mounted in 2011.
What was the name of his taxidermy?
Isley's Taxidermy.
Oh, Brian?
Brian the Carpenter.
We got to get on.
Can we get him on? In
there's
studio?
There's a lot of rumors floating around about that.
Yeah. I've actually been in his place, and he showed me his mount. It's mounted on his wall. It's freaking huge.
I think you need a polygraph for this.
Maybe the polygraph.
Stormtrooper?
What?
Jacob?
Wherever you want the date of 1983.
Is it true? At Manantico.
I'll fucking question him. I'll put him right here on the spot. Put him right there. I'll put my thumbs on his wrist.
Your thumbs on his wrist?
Yeah, fucking feels
pulse
rate. You're
actually going to feel his pulse?
I would do that if Isley sat right there. I'll put it to bed. I think he caught the fish. But I'm not going to be prejudicial, and during the interview, I'll fucking go after him.
Presidential?
Well, here's the other thing I heard. I heard that he's also had several state record deer and other game, and some of which have been disqualified, like later found out to be.
Yeah, but he might be a coxman.
Hold on, Lou.
Maybe he's a coxman.
Hold on, Lou.
Yeah.
How do you plead to these charges?
Did you do it?
I think you need to get him on Ike Live and hook him up.
He's out in Leesburg. I remember the name of the town.
He ain't far from here, dude.
Yeah, Leesburg.
Leesburg's Bridgeton. Get him up here.
Leesburg, Florida?
No, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Paul, step up. You gave him money to kill a fish.
I haven't talked to him like over 10 years, man. Give me a break.
Why you kill a fish 10 years ago? You shouldn't have been doing that at all.
I was less experienced.
Take a picture. Take a picture.
I did have a smartphone back then.
Disposable camera. That's what we all have.
Nobody cares. One fish.
That fish could have bred how many more studs?
Yeah.
And Paul killed him on the side of the guardrail.
That's the tick side of the guardrail.
He killed him on the tick side.
You beat his head on the guardrail.
Every
the brains
time,
out of him.
This joker is always roasted.
I've been easy on you, Paul.
Every time.
You have no idea, buddy.
I ought to be used to it by
Paul,
now.
No. Your friendship comes with a price.
I had to deal with this shit for 35 years.
I feel bad.
Hold on. Let Paul know, though. Am I being easy?
Yeah.
Way easy.
I love it.
All right, Lou,
you're being indoctrined.
All right, Lou, I want you to talk a little bit about biz baits. Talk about biz baits, because we know Brian. That's got to be a cool gig.
But rap while you do it.
Yeah. No, but here's
rap.
The thing.
Yeah. What?
Why are you talking about biz baits?
So this is – I'm going to – again, this is my age. I've known those guys, Brian and his mom. I've known them since – like I've known him since he was like literally like a little kid. So it's really cool. Like, I remember him coming to Bass Universities when he was a boy.
He's a boy.
And he was a small boy. And he would come to the Bass Universities, like, wanting to learn about fishing. But I remember him saying, man, I want to, you know, this is my dream. I want to make baits. And, dude, it's so cool.
It's cool that he started his own thing and didn't rip off Fish the Moment. You know what I mean?
Right. He didn't rip anybody off.
Right. Didn't rip anything off.
He's doing it himself. Yeah. He's working hard.
I know we're talking.
I love the story.
It's great.
I love the story. It's got to be cool working
Dude,
there.
It's amazing. Yeah. I guess it was beginning of my senior year, or probably halfway through my junior year, I'm friends with all the guys in the shop. And I've always kind of wanted to work in the industry if I wasn't pursuing my dream in the industry. And I hopped on the train, and there's not a better group of guys as far as the company goes in the industry, period, bar none.
Yeah.
Brian, a couple of years ago, Brian teamed up with John Martin at True South Custom Lures, and Brian and John have just created this amazing company that's just, you know, we're really trying to build something here.
Awesome.
And we're all really proud of our product. We're all really proud of how we work around here. And bottom line is, for someone like me, who's really trying to make my way in this industry, as dumb as that is, knowing what Nolan said, and he's absolutely right, I'm just an idiot. But
No. You're far more articulate than you give yourself credit for.
Besides the point, to be a part of something like this, I mean, I really think this company's going places. Like I said, Brian and John have an amazing work ethic, and just really moving this company places. And I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to call those guys my bosses and just honestly friends, guys I look up to. It's Michael, you can account. They've been all the guys at the shop, Brian, John, Jarris, Tyler, Ian, Bryson. There's a whole number of guys. They've been our biggest support system all year. Awesome. Besides our families, the guys at Biz have been by far our biggest supporters, and it's honestly meant a lot to us. There's a reason why we're here wearing these hats, these shirts.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, that
mean a lot to us.
That's awesome.
Young people listening, I want you to rewind that maybe in the future.
Yeah.
Make yourself valuable to the person you work for.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly what he just said. Yeah. Make yourself a valuable asset to who you're performing for.
Yeah.
That is a great message you sent, Lou.
And I appreciate
it. Well said, man.
Yeah. Here's the thing too. I love, you know, the little guys in the industry. You know, I work for a lot of companies that are the big guys.
Yeah.
A lot of my companies that I work
with.
They
crush everybody.
But I love the little guys, because I think the guys are the innovators, and they're the hustlers, and they're the ones that can really change things, and I love that, man.
But that's where the fundamentals of becoming big start.
Yeah, for sure.
Right there.
For sure.
We work hard here. And Mike, I think I'm speaking for Brian here when I say you're always welcome to come and work for the little guys.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, if the internet chatter keeps coming up, I'm probably going to be fired anyway in the next couple months.
Hey.
So I might need
you
a
got
job.
An opening here, I promise.
That's
you.
That's awesome. Hell yeah.
How about for Power Bait Paul? You got a spot for him?
Absolutely.
Well, we might have to change your name though to
Well, that is
Paul.
The first line on the contract that's changing. I'll speak for Brian on that behalf.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as
no,
nice though,
BBP,
Paul.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's cool. Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue as nice.
It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard to catch as many fish and to beat all the fish I've caught in the Berkeley Power Worm. That's impossible by
Paul,
now.
It's just a challenge.
That's because you haven't tried this bait.
You got to recognize and overcome.
It's so cool, Paul. I set you up for a job interview, and you talk your way out of it in 9 seconds.
Yes. Story of my life.
We actually changed the name to BizBait Bob.
BizBait Bob.
Wow, BizBait Bob.
Listen, we're already going to be in the office to change your name legally. We might as well go to Bob from Paul. What's the difference?
BizBait Bob sounds like a retard Sasquatch.
BZB, I sound like a new rapper.
I forget the rest.
Hell yeah. Beatboxing. No,
Jeff Sprague still hasn't got back to me.
No, he ain't gonna. Let me ask you guys. Let me ask a panel here. What are your opinions on the whole information Jeff Sprague disqualification?
Oh, okay.
You have an opinion on that?
Huh. I'm going to let you take it first.
You don't have to come in hard. I'm not looking for hard. I'm just looking for a realistic observation of the whole rule in terms of information versus what he got pinched for.
Hmm. So first of all, I'll preface this by I do not pay attention to anything that goes on in the fishing world.
All right.
And I have a question I asked Lewis, and he goes, this is going on.
Lou, what do you got?
I'm trying to bow out of this one. No, I'm not trying to bow out of this, because if I ever do fish professionally, it's going to be for bass. But anyways, information, whatever. The cream's going to rise to the top. That's kind of where I lie on things. I mean, I'm sure at the top level it's a different story. I can only speak for what I've done and fished for in my time. And I've we've both received a lot of information this year and a lot of information just going back a number of years. I've always kind of been a guy that just takes it and throws it out the window. I understand that it can help. Trust me, I do. But at the end of the day, I mean, Kevin Van Dam didn't need a whole lot of information to get where he is. Mike didn't need a whole lot of information to get where he is. I think talent's going to rise to the top at the end of the day.
Okay.
I'd agree with that.
I mean,
along those lines,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And I'm open for disagreement.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
You're not wrong, Lou.
And
I'm not all right either.
Brian DeCarpenter, I won't mention any names tonight specifically because I don't want to get into that. But I think there are a lot of amazing anglers that are pushing the envelope with rules.
Yeah.
That are good enough to not need it.
Yeah.
But they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Just but is that bad to be in the gray, Mike?
Is it bad to be in the gray? I mean, great anglers have been in the gray in the sport of professional bass fishing from the beginning.
From jump.
Roland.
Bobby Murray. Right. Roland Martin. Hank Parker. Name them all.
Right.
Keep naming them.
See, I find myself drawn to the gray guys, man.
Name them all.
They all been there.
Me.
Right? Salt. You got to have salt.
But you're in the gray for what?
I'm in the gray for pushing rules.
Everything.
Pushing the envelope, but not for...
Not for information, but for pushing information. Other stuff, you know?
Kicking a flagpole ain't pushing the envelope. That's just...
A flagpole is an asshole.
No, I mean...
That's just the industry shitting on you.
I'm just saying, I think you're right to an extent, Dave. I think you're right. If the rule is not black and white, if the rule's gray, why not push?
Why not push? Why not be there?
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
Right, but there's also flat out cheating. There's also flat out breaking the rule. You know the rule. You know what the rule states, and you push beyond it.
Yeah.
And you have to say that is a thing.
I guess here's my problem with the whole penalizing someone for information.
Here's my problem with not penalizing someone. Okay, this is the point of all of this: is the leagues have been. They're worried about bad PR, and they've been brushing it under the rug for years. So there's nothing stopping guys from continuing to do it, continue to push the limits, continue to break the rules, and pay a little bit of a fine and move on. They finally came out and hammered somebody, maybe because, you know, a Facebook troll site put it out there, and they felt like they had to because they got so much bad PR. But they finally put it out there, and I think that was the right thing to do. And I think the leagues need to do that. They need to make some examples so dudes will start fucking following along. Because if they don't, the guys that are going to hurt the worst are the guys that don't fucking break the rules. And that's the fact, dude.
Here's the problem I have with that, Brian. And you tell me, is there anyone you know that understands gray as well as or better than I do? It's either no information... Or all information.
No. It's you cannot receive information once you know where the lake is. You cannot get information from anybody outside that tournament circuit.
But you can people
it's
within.
It's clear and obvious.
But you can still get it from within.
But you can't from people without.
All right. So we're still getting information.
But somebody got busted getting information outside that circle.
I'm on team's break.
No. You got to listen to the facts. He got information from somebody outside the circle, a clear violation of the absolute written down rules.
They're horrible rules, man.
Yeah, but here's
you're right though, Brian.
But here's the rules. They're horrible rules.
I don't disagree.
Here's a different way around it, which I know is happening in both leagues, which is you can get information if it's public.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the way these guys are getting around it is, and it's I know it's happening. I'm not going to say names again.
Forums.
I know it's happening. Dude, create a fucking
forum.
Facebook. Create a fake Facebook name.
Yeah.
I've got one, by the way. I'm not going to tell you my Facebook name.
I use
it to look at old bottles.
Right.
But listen.
But not for fishing shit.
You create a fake Facebook
Maybe
name.
Maybe the fake best name ever, but go ahead.
It is a good fake name.
Yeah.
You create a fake name. You go on there. You post the waypoint. You post what's gone down on this lake. but you have the in, you know, you kind of know, you tell this guy. The guy goes and looks at it. It's public. He's not cheating. That's a public post.
Just show
That's
Becky's
a
face.
Post.
Talking about cheating.
Yeah. It's Beck. A public post.
Yo, Beck, what are you doing?
Beck's banging a pool point.
No, so I agree. The bottom line is if, like with Sprague, if the bottom, if the rule is there and it's crossed, I agree with you, Brian. He's got to be, you know, put on blast.
You got to put somebody on blast and keep the people honest. Otherwise, the shit's just going to continue. And the only guys that are going to get hurt are the guys that are actually paying attention and following the rules.
Yeah.
So the honest guys are the ones getting fucked.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with it. But now, you're either going to have it or you're not going to have it.
Yeah.
Well, everything's open. Go. Everything's open, and then it's the Wild West.
How does he feel? He's got to be pissed off that he's got to be mad because he's being persecuted when the last 2 years before him, all these other dudes did the same shit, and all they got was a fine.
Deep State just pointed out how they do it. Mike just told you how they do it, man. They put it out there in public forums. And this kid got caught on the wrong side of black and white, and they're all doing it, man.
They're not all doing it. There's a percentage.
But it's either information or no friggin' information. You can't have a cutoff.
Blue dots, babe.
There is a cutoff. As soon as they announce a schedule, that's it.
Blue dots,
you can
yes.
talk to people within your league.
Blue dots,
you cannot
babe.
Talk to people outside your league. You cannot text somebody in another league and blatantly ask for information and tell that person that, oh, yeah, I can receive information until December 31st.
You're right. I can't disagree
with
you.
Which is a fucking lie.
Problem is, I had a co-angler.
I'm just saying, Dave, besides all that, this is what went happen.
But I had a co who traveled with a very famous, I will not say who it is, very famous person.
Yeah. All,
and he had 12 guides. He had the money to pay 12 guides to go win that money. And he
12
did.
Guides for blue dots.
I know this as a matter of fact.
No, I got you.
So, like, for blue me, dots. I'm jaded because I know what they're doing. And here's this dude scraping, trying to compete with these ultimate layer, high deep state cheaters. All right? And he can't. And he got pinched for it, and they fell him for it, man. That's all. I'm sorry.
No, but...
I'm sorry. Whatever.
I agree, but you got to make some examples. So, you know, MLF came out. They put it out there. Maybe they were forced, but I think it was a good thing.
It may have been too much for them not to cover up, but whatever.
I think they need to. I think some leagues need to.
It's got
to
be no info or all the info money can buy because the guys with money are still buying it.
That's right. Except for Lou Minotti.
No, Lou Minotti in his boat falling apart with his friend.
Dude, no electronics.
His friend's the propeller.
That's what I want to know. I want to know how you guys went out on Saginaw Bay with nothing on the front deck and caught them like that.
That's crazy.
You do not want to know the story.
That's crazy.
No, we want to know the story. Go ahead.
We need to know the story.
We have to know.
Come on, cough it up.
So I'll start out because in this situation, I feel like I was the more logical one. Leading up to the Saginaw Bay tournament, I was like, oh, Lewis, where are you looking at fishing? Because I knew we were going to target smallmouth. And he was like, yeah, I'm looking at Tawas Bay. And I was like, all right. So I pulled it up on the map, and I looked at it, and I was like, we must be looking at the wrong Tawas Bay. And I was like, Lewis, you know this thing's like, I don't know, 50 miles from where we put in? He was like, oh, yeah, I know. I was like, well, I don't think we can get there. And he was like, we can get there. He was like, oh, we'll have to fill up somewhere halfway down the middle.
Somewhere.
A like, gas station out there. Yeah.
So we mapped out all these gas stations that we could hit, and we found one in All Gray, which was like halfway in the middle. So like we could go there, fill up, take a breather, and get to Tawas Bay.
Which are 115, which are 115 nonetheless.
Wow.
And we were never smart enough during the tournament to actually figure out if this gas station was open.
Oh, my God.
And the day before the tournament, We got off the water, and we were like, all right, we'll call them, figure out when they open so we can figure out the time. And we call them, and they were like, oh, sorry, we're closed the first day. So I look at Lewis. Shit. I was like, we spent our whole practice figuring out Tawas Bay. Like, what are we going to do? And he looked at me, like, straight-faced and goes, oh, yeah, we'll still get there. I was like, are we actually going to get there? And he was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. And so we filled the gas tank up as far as it could go. He took it off his truck and jack the thing up to sit the boat this way so we could fit just a half a gallon more gas in there.
Oh my God.
And we sent it out there, and it was the most terrifying ride of my life.
Yes.
You didn't.
I was getting water sprayed in my eyes, and I wear a contact, so I don't want to fall out because I wouldn't be able to see what was going on. So I have my eyes closed like the beginning of the ride, the first 45 minutes into this hour and 45 minute ride, and I have closed. I'm getting beat to hell. I have a flogger in between my feet. The flogger splits in half. I was like, this isn't good. And then all of a sudden I hear Lewis go, oh no. And I'm like trying to wipe my eyes, and I look, and I just see like 4 5-footers coming our way.
Oh my God, dude. With a 115, you can't even get the nose up, dude. So go ahead.
Oh my God, this is great.
We finally made it to our spot, and I didn't think about it. I was like, oh, yeah, we're making a long run, but I shouldn't get wet. I don't know why I didn't think that.
Oh.
So I was just wearing a sweatshirt and bibs, and by the time we got there, I, like, couldn't move. I was shaking.
Yeah.
I feel like I was on the verge of hypothermia.
Yep.
And Lewis pulls up to the spot. We get to our first bedfish mark, first cast. He hooks him up. And I was like, oh. So I'm, like, reaching, trying to unfold the net. I can't feel any of my limbs. And I'm like, Lewis, I don't know if I can net this thing. He was like, you'll be all right. And I'm like,
eh. Oh, man.
This is true.
We got it in the net, and then the rest of the day was history.
Dude, what do you think is more stressful, the big fish on the end of the rod or being the guy that has to net the big fish?
The net man is far more stressful.
I agree, dude.
I agree with that.
I thought about that when Mike – I don't know if you heard earlier. Mike was telling a story of net in Vegas' big win in foreign. I think netting it is way worse than
way
being the
stressful.
Dude that has to fight it.
Yeah,
you know?
The net man's so much more stressful because day one we had all of our 5 fish were all bedfish. And so Lewis caught all 5 bedfish.
Wow.
And so, of course, I'm the one netting them, and I'd never been around smallmouth. I'd caught 1 smallmouth in Arkansas, and I don't even know if you qualified as a smallmouth. And all tournament, Lewis was like, yeah, smallmouth fight different. Like, you'll just have to see. And he hooks in the first one day one, and it's diving at the boat, jumping, going every which direction. I'm standing there with the net like, I don't know what I'm doing.
So this is an important informational tip. Lewis, what are you telling him to do while you're fighting the fish? Are you coaching him along?
Oh, absolutely. You have to.
So what are you saying? Because people are listening.
You're saying, don't stab at the fish!
Stop poking at it like it's a boarding pirate, right? Like,
it's either put the net in the water or take the net out of the water. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
No, but the best part of the Saginaw story is day two, we're running back, and nobody else experienced this unless you were at that bay. The wind was blowing straight out of the southwest, and it was just straight into the mouth of the bay, and it was bad. And we were running hard, and I have no idea how it happened, but about 10 minutes into our hour and 45-minute drive of just getting our brains beat in, I was like, you know, I think it's time to check on the fish. We had 19 and a quarter pound of smallmouth in the live well. I'm like, Michael, take a look at the fish. He opens the live well. There is no water.
Oh, God.
All of us have had that, yeah.
None.
Oh my God.
So we're in, you know, 3.5-4 footers, and I'm firing the boat in a reverse trying to fill up the live well. It's not filling fast enough. I end up taking Michael grabs his knife. I cut the freaking top off of a gallon jug. I'm shoveling water into the live well in the middle of the freaking bay. Dude, we had to shovel water into the live well probably 4 times on the way back.
Dude,
it 4 times.
This is great. You know, this it's funny because as you guys are telling the story, it reminds me of Brian's life every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shit show. Just like this.
Damn. You know?
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Mike, I want to know.
Such a dick. He's like, you're welcome.
I know, you're welcome.
like vindictively. Like,
when you had your eyes closed.
Like working for a Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but here's what I want to know. When you had your eyes closed on that first day.
Mike, everybody on Facebook is right.
What were you thinking about when you had your eyes closed? Were you imagining like a calm cove of Lake Norman and like a hot chick with giant titties walking out on the dock? What were you imagining when your eyes were closed?
So I was mad the whole week. I thought Lewis was a complete dumbass for wanting to do this. I was like, this is never going to work. We're never going to make it. Like, you see the boat we're in. And I'm holding on to the oh shit handle, and I'd like to mention that all the screws unthreaded themselves. So it was tight when I first started holding it, and then it just got severely loose.
Oh shit handle, I love that.
The whole thing I'm thinking about is I do not want to fly out of the boat. I was like, that would be worst case scenario. Oh, I'm banging my knees under the console, just getting blown around, and then at one point, I was so cold, like, I couldn't feel anything, and I was like, this isn't good.
But
I wasn't thinking about anything good while going down there.
So going down, you were already, like, going back, you had to feel way better. Like, you weren't cold on the way back, knowing you had bangers in the bucket, right?
Yeah, so day one going back, I was like, all right, like, we should be good. Like, we have 17 so pounds. I was like, we're not going to be winning the thing, but I think we gave a shot to win team of the year come day two. And I'm looking at Lewis, like, we didn't talk the whole ride. It was like a few words, like, are you good? I'm good. Okay, let's keep going. So we're going down, and we're probably, I don't know, 30 minutes away from the ramp, and Lewis looks at me and said, this isn't good. And I was like, I don't want to hear this. And Lewis goes, I think we're not going to make it, because we were filling up on gas before we got in the river, and he was like, we're going to run out of gas. And I was like, I was like, we wasted all this money to come down here, got our shit beat in for 5 days straight just to run out of gas day one. And Lewis goes, Michael, I want you to clench your butt cheeks. We are going to do something. And I was like, and I'm looking over the side of the boat. We're probably running in, I don't know, a foot and a half of water. And I'm seeing boulders all besides us. Because Lewis decided to cut this point to get to the gas station we were going to go to. And so I'm sitting there like, as I'm just seeing rocks, I was like, his lower unit's about to be gone.
Lou, you're like fucking Han Solo, dude. Like, getting after it, dude. I love you, man.
Love it. Love it.
Holy shit.
Living on the edge.
All I know is when you hear, like, the pros and, you know, all these fishermen talk about when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. They ain't shit. Because it was meant to be.
Those moments, though, like, when I look back, like, those moments of scary intensity are some of the best moments of my tournament career.
Because the dopamine feed, dude.
Right, right. Know? Like, I've had some success over the years where it was, like, easier success, and I don't remember those as much. I remember the ones where it's scary or you're nervous or you're worried or you're frightened. They're the ones I remember.
Because of those extra blood-pumping drugs.
Yeah.
Dopamine, adrenaline. Exactly. All of it matters, man.
Exactly.
That's it. You explained that whole – I couldn't – you described that so perfectly.
Yeah.
All of us that have – completely relate to what that kid said, man. You know?
Oh, yeah. Been there a lot.
Totally awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Dude, when we rolled into the gas station, you know how, you know, when you're on E, you're bouncing E? We were not bouncing E. We were E.
you were way defeated on the arm wrestling match, dude.
Fumes.
I always viewed it like arm wrestling. If it was moving, I knew I still had a fight, but it was like dead.
Yeah.
You knew you were dead, man. Yeah.
Fumes.
Fumes. Let me remind everybody watching, you got a brand new Ike Live show here.
Paul?
We've got the Illuminati on. Paul, what do you got? Any,
Paul, what do you got for the Illuminati?
Questions, comments coming in? What do you got for Illuminati?
Fugaze? What do you got?
Let's see. What? Well, Chuck Fish says, I fish on Saginaw Bay a lot, and this is a pretty crazy-ass story.
You've even freaked out a local. That's awesome. It's hard to do.
What else we got?
Well, talking about the list of rules not to do, Nolan Miner says, like, snagging bass.
That's true.
Yep.
Well, who's shitting on that one?
Well,
you know.
It's been done, too. You know, it wasn't proven.
And
what are you doing over there? Who's paying you?
Somebody's got
Somebody's got to
defend the guy.
Bullshit tonight.
He's not here.
He had a treble hook in his scalp. It wasn't.
And he's not here to defend himself. Someone's got to defend the guy.
That's right.
Who are we talking about?
Nobody.
The fish that had a hook in his mouth, not the one in the back of his head.
I think I've snagged a bass or two back when I was like walking almond banks
in Hershey Lake, banging him in the face.
On accident, I hope.
No, in his face.
How much they paying you, Dave?
I'm just trying to. I'm
Cop.
Not. No, come on, man. I'm just playing defense.
You,
everybody needs a Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, but
go ahead, Lou.
Yeah,
what do you
but
got?
Johnny makes stuff rhyme, and if it doesn't rhyme,
Johnny did. Johnny did. Go ahead,
and you make stuff rhyme.
I can rhyme.
I know. That's all fair.
On the snag fish topic, day two at Saginaw, you know, this isn't no huge secret. I was throwing a pink Senko on a, like, half, actually a pink BizBait sassy stick, on a half bedded smallmouth. It was one of them fish that was real weird.
Half bedded?
I threw that thing into the bed and it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, just straight gone. And I said, it was a big one. I leaned into it. We fought it. You know, I was fishing 6-pound test, fought it for 843 years. Finally get it in the net, and that thing's got it right here. And that fish in the back. Shit. It was a 4.5 pounder that would have given us 20 pounds day two. And I said, I'm not risking this on all on the line. So yeah.
Why? It was clean.
Sometimes honesty pays off.
No, that didn't pay off there. You shouldn't have done that.
Why? No, you can't snag a fish.
He didn't snag it on purpose.
Well, if you see it, if you're sight fishing.
But he didn't do it on purpose.
Nah.
Get in that ass,
fishing,
Lou.
You can't do it.
Get Lou, you throw that fish right in the bucket. Lou. I'm telling you, Papa Dave.
No,
telling
I mean,
you.
If you're throwing a pink Senko and you're wacky rigging, blind casting,
and
the
sun, and he can't see the glare.
That's legal.
Saw that fish.
Yeah, if you see the fish and you're bed fishing for it, you can't hook it in the throat.
He didn't know he was hooking in the throat. Did he say that? I am a why not guy.
It's in that gray area that
I'm in agreement with this. He's fighting it, and I have the net, and I finally net it, and I was like, ah, oh, good job, Michael. And he pulls up, and he goes, ah, oh, I hooked in the throat. I said, what do you care? I was like,
throw that in the fucking bucket.
In the box.
What are you, fucking Mother Teresa? Throw it in the bucket and shut up. Let's go.
Luminati's
honest.
I was like, I mean, you kind of saw it, but the glare on the water, the waves, I was like, you didn't really see it.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God, it's not even a question.
That's true.
Don't you be looking at me, Brian. You know you have the things right in the bucket.
Listen, I may have had it in the bucket too, David, but Luminati didn't.
Yeah. Luminati.
And that needs to be fucking respected.
If you knew where he grew up at and you saw that neighborhood,
it
is absolutely it's where the Brady Bunch grew up.
Yeah.
All right. It's a place where everyone's perfect. No one blows.
Well, there he is.
Brielle, New Jersey is beautiful, and that's why he did that.
Lou, you're beautiful, Lou.
I'm here to tell you not everybody's perfect in Brielle, New Jersey.
The ones I saw are, if you were from Runnymede, that fish would have had a cold tag hanging out of its face in 3 seconds.
And not a regular cold tag. We're not talking about a little, like, inconspicuous cold tag.
No, it is.
We're
shut
talking
up.
About, like, a balloon.
Don't
a
touch it.
A fucking full-size balloon.
Yeah.
With a giant, and you're not even doing the non-penetrating.
No.
Dude, straight through his freaking. The
right through.
Right through. You're penetrating.
No guy thing. I found from nowhere, don't you even touch this fish because it's not coming out the bucket. All right? You leave it right in there. It got caught normal, and you shut your mouth. You shut your whole mouth.
This is great. This is great. All right, guys, here's the question, I've been thinking about this whole conversation. What's next for you guys? You guys have been through a lot.
Jobs.
No, that, I know, jobs, but I mean, what's next?
Direct deposit.
No, I know, that's reality. But what's next in terms of fishing for you guys, in terms of fishing, tournament fishing?
All right, I'll lead this one off.
Okay.
What's next for me is, I guess, fishing the college bracket.
Okay.
But a big issue with the college bracket is I have never owned a boat. I've never really driven a boat.
Right.
So I'm going to have to get that figured out before I make a fool of myself on live TV.
Okay.
So you apparently drove next to Han Solo, so what do you even – you should know how to do it. Like, Chewbacca wouldn't be like, I don't know what to do. He'd be like, right behind the wheel. Right behind the wheel, dude.
The issue is the boat they're probably going to give me in, Lewis wouldn't even know how to drive. It's got the hot foot. It's got all the fancy gadgets and gizmos. He wouldn't even know how to drive.
Kayaks is the answer, Michael.
Yeah, no, you go ahead. You sound like us talking like that. You're not sound like a young kid.
No, go ahead, buddy.
Get after it. You figure that hot foot out.
I'll fish that. I'm I'm still in school for another semester, so I'll be eligible to fish next year's college series. I probably won't fish that just because I'm trying to graduate.
Yeah.
No, because he's trying to finish his college fishing career on top.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, I've reached the pinnacle of fishing for my first year, so I shouldn't even try again. I'm going to just retire and graduate, and I'll start building houses because that's what I want to do.
There you go, bud.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Brian the Carpenter.
Finish on top.
I can relate to that.
And go make real money. Yeah. Stop chasing fool's gold.
No need. Yeah, exactly. No need to try to branch off from the, from the coaching tree. And yeah, I get it. Good job, kid.
All this smart fish.
I'm going to be an asshole and try and do what Mike does.
Yeah! All this from fish.
Let me tell you what, Lou. You got the guts to do it. And guts, a lot of times, is what it takes, man.
I appreciate it. I'm gonna give it hell. That's all I know.
Yeah.
So I don't know I don't know where the money's gonna come from, but.
So Lou, what are you gonna do tournament wise?
Let me say this right here.
Yeah.
Anybody out there? Any sponsors out there? If Lou's fucking saying this is what I use, I'm gonna believe Lou.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the truth.
He was throwing a fish back in the water, a 4-pounder that there was nobody else around.
No.
The dude's honest.
For 50 miles.
50 miles.
Yeah, 50 straight
miles. I'm going to believe Lou.
Yeah.
That 4-pounder is going for a 30-mile ride with me. Sorry.
It's going to be your best friend.
You should have ate it, dude.
You would have taken it home and eat it. You weren't even going to weigh it in.
I would have told that fish, you should have put it in your mouth.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because you're coming for the same ride as the dude that ate it.
All right. So, Lou, are you going to fish the Opens? Or are you going to fish the Toyota Series? What are you planning?
So, I obviously... The dream scenario is that we roll up to this 8-person tournament called the bracket and I win it.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. You know, we all know as well as anybody else that the tournament's a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, it's like baseball. Any given team can win on any given day.
Yeah. So what's going on with that? Lou, explain. Like, do you have a tournament coming up? Or what do you got going on?
So, yeah, there's the national championship. So the college series. It all leads up to the national championship, and the top three teams, as well as of last year, the team of the year will fish the college bracket. So they take the team of the year and the top three teams from the national championship. So four teams, they split them up into 8 boats, and then they do a bracket style, just like March Madness, and everybody goes head to head against each other for, I guess, 3 or 4 days, and whoever comes out on top gets a classic berth, a boat and a truck for a year, as well as free opens for a year.
Wow. So,
by the way, real quick, that's Nolan, awesome, who we had on earlier,
yeah,
he missed that by 4 ounces.
Ounces.
Wow.
Four ounces. That, yeah, dude caught one at the end of the final day to bump it by 4 ounces.
Wow.
So, Lou, how are you financially for this? Like, you guys set up, you have a GoFundMe? What do you got going on?
Go fuck me.
We're not. We are not. No, I mean, I'm personally just going to see how the bracket goes. And then next year, if I could, you know, you'll
pros
want to try and take a shot at it, swipe a credit card until you die type of beat. We'll see what happens.
So when is this tournament?
I like it.
That's the thing. We don't know when or where.
Wow. And this is a BASS sanctioned event, right?
What the fuck?
Yes.
Huh.
That's convenient.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Well, you want maybe like start a GoFundMe or something?
Yeah, but here's
like,
the thing. Listen, if we're all here when they finally announce it, dude, we should like go to a bar and watch this. It's live, right? Is it broadcast live every day?
Last year it was broadcasted live on FS1.
Okay.
I don't know what they're doing this year.
I'm saying let's fund these kids and get them some money to go down there and compete.
I got no fuck up, fun shit. I got my own kids. Who are you funding, bro?
I know how much money you just throw around loosely. You got more than I do. And I would throw these kids some money.
All right, what are we talking about? A couple of dollars. I'm in.
So what if Brian?
I got PvP over here.
Here's the thing. What if Brian's Ghost sponsors you guys?
Oh, it. If I'm a part of a Ike Live episode that includes Brian's Ghost, I'm good. I'm good for life. That's it.
Wait. I hear him. Hold on.
How much do you need?
Brian's Ghost, is that you?
How much do you need? It's going to come. It's going to come at a price.
Wow. Brian's Ghost, where have you been all this time?
Lay low. The law's after me.
The law?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, it's good to have you back, Brian's Ghost.
Thank you. I'm hoping this new merch sets me straight.
Wow, the return of Brian's Ghost.
He's ready to sponsor you, Lou.
You know I'm a hardcore Ike Live fan when I need Brian's Ghost on an episode.
Lou, thank you.
You don't need Brian's Ghost.
Yo, can you imagine?
Brian's Ghost will lead you to death.
I know, we'll lead you. But listen to this. Can you imagine a jersey with the logos? Brian's Ghost, Brian's Van, like all the...
Brian's Huffy. What about Brian's Huffy?
Hudley Crockett.
That's a fucking fan.
I need a ghost riding a wheelie on Brian's Huffy in front of the white van.
Being run down by that white van.
Being run over by the white paddle van.
Oh, shit.
So that is good. That is a... Lou, when you finally find out, please reach out to Brian. You know, you're a lot younger than me. It's not charity. I'd like to throw you some money to get you set up to go compete.
No.
No, I would do that. I would do that. You're a New Jersey guy. I'd like to do that for you.
What about the other guy? You fuck Fugazi or what?
The problem is my eyes are so bad I can't see his first name. That's why I haven't been saying it at all.
It's Mike Fugazi.
I can't say. I always thought it was Fugazi. I can see that.
It's
sorry,
the most
Mike.
Manly strong name in the world. How are you going to forget that?
I mean, dude, that's my favorite archangel, Michael. I got him on my wall. You talking about? I pray to him all the time.
No, you don't pray shit.
I pray to. I sometimes I ask my archangel Michael to help me out.
Help
some
me.
Stuff.
I fucked up. Lost my keys.
My iPhone's gone.
So hold on, that's never Brian. That's Brian's Ghost in real voice talking to me. Stray me from Jesus, man.
Real quick story. Before you know, whatever else. I think everybody appreciates this. So, 2019 Classic, Knoxville is essentially the death of the elites at the time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lou.
Sad turn.
What?
Go ahead, buddy. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what it was.
I love you.
I agree.
I was there, and my buddy Trevor Topkin was there. Some of y'all listening may know him. He's an excellent fisherman who's coming up in the world. But anyways, we were there having a good time. We were sitting in the rafters because we're weirdos, and that's what we do. We like to take it all in.
Hell yeah.
And, Mike, you came on the stage, and you said, hey, this bar, this hotel, Ike Live, everyone's invited.
Yeah.
And undisclosed aged Trevor and Lewis showed up and had a blast. And
hell yeah! Hell yeah!
And I will also say that we got... I think we're probably like the last people in line to talk to you that night, and we pleaded that you come back to Bass, and I am as ecstatic as it can be that you're there.
Thank you.
And just know there's a lot of people pulling for you, and we want to see you in the Classic
again.
Thank
you.
Man.
Appreciate that.
Look at awesome.
Thank
bro.
You.
Yeah.
Appreciate Lou.
That. Lou's got the charisma to make it, man.
Yeah, Lou.
For sure.
Ike Lies, you know, if this podcast dies, we're going to start Lou Live.
Yeah. That'd be a good show, too.
I need a gig after this one.
Yeah.
And if you need a disgruntled old guy to make fun of everything.
I'm the producer. I got you.
About half of your shows will work if Brian's your producer. About half will work if he won't. So it's a pretty good ratio. So
that is accurate. That is
you
accurate.
Got a 50% chance of your articulate voice making it to the airwaves.
Yeah. Maybe 50%.
Yeah, 50%. Guys, thank you for coming on the show. Dude, I honestly had a lot of fun in the last hour with you guys. More fun than a lot of guests.
I'm going to start following them because of these guys.
But, you ain't following shit. You ain't on social media.
How'd I know about their story before you sent it to me?
Because I sent it to you.
I read that shit before you sent it to me.
I sent it to you.
He's on MySpace. What are you talking about?
That's
He's on social media. He's got MySpace account.
So Lou, was that the classic party that was at the hotel?
That was at the hotel.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hotel looked like a spaceship, big flat front.
Yeah. Everybody was mad.
Yeah, the hotel was falling apart.
That was a blast.
Cockroach. That's all I'll
say. So fun.
Actually, it's the only time in my life to get a little serious, and I will cherish that night forever because of this. I was, you know, within – I don't know – I really – this is founders to blame. I don't remember every detail, but I was within extremely close. I don't remember if I said any words or not to Aaron. And because of that, I will always remember that night.
Yeah. That's why you should punch everyone in the arm, you know, so you can say you punched them in the arm, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Right in the arm. Just give them a shot. Bang!
Good shit, man.
Yeah.
Awesome
good
night.
Stuff, man.
Guys, thanks for coming on tonight. It was awesome having you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. The dream of mine, really.
Appreciate it, guys.
Well, you're on the next show, too.
Yes. Every show.
You
for
too,
the next
Fugazi.
3 years.
That's it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You
Thank
too.
Thank you. You too.
Mikey Fugazi.
Fugazi, eh?
Fugazi.
And Louis.
Luminati.
Luminati. Mm. Dude, his town, I can't preach how fucking cool Brielle is enough.
That's cool.
Like, I would love to live there.
I've heard of the name, but I've never been there.
It's above, it's above Tom's River, Lakewood. It's like 195, go north a little bit, off 9, and it's east of Manasquan, north of 9.
Dude, it's interesting he brought up Aaron. I find myself being on the water thinking of him like random times, like something will happen. Like the other day, Vegas caught those two fish. He caught them on a robo worm.
Yeah, it's his
bull bluegill. And it's not even like an Aaron signature color, but like I started thinking about Aaron because it was a robo worm. You know what I mean? Like I find myself, it happens a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I was on the Upper Bay practicing this week and I launched out of Gunpowder.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like in the southern part of the bay, like where Aaron
he killed
won,
it.
And, yeah. And I was just like, little things keep popping up, you know, thinking about them.
Yeah. How's the universe take a soul like that, right?
It's fucked up, but it's life, man. Yeah. Sucks.
Well, I don't know.
But he was an amazing.
Amazing dude.
Great amazing, guy. Amazing dude. And
Sweet soul.
I've got his Bassmaster article, Bassmaster Magazine, in the bar. I see him every day.
It's awesome. All right, Brian, here's what we're doing. We are going to do the MTB unboxing, and then after we do this, Paul, we're going to select our like and share winner, if we can do that.
We can do that.
And we should let Paul get the first crack.
Yeah. Paul,
what the fuck, man?
What do you think?
I've been here for 10 years. I've not got the first crack yet.
Well, I think Paul should get the first crack. I still want to open it, though, and here's the cool tie-in. Brian DeCarpenter, I'm opening this MTB with a Founders bottle cap.
A gold one, nonetheless, from Magaz Agave.
And here it goes. I always like the sound. You ready? Oh! You heard the pop!
You got one.
It was good. All right. Paul?
Yeah, hey, go ahead, Paul. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, let's see what we got.
Privileged Paul here. Open up a box.
Oh, man, I can just smell that jealousy. Oh, let's see what we got.
Paul,
man.
Good job.
Oh, Paul got a first pick. Brian
Paul's
never did.
Learning.
Good work, Paul.
Here's the rules, guys. You know the deal. We're going to pass the box. We're going to pick one bait.
Right.
And then pass it on. And we're going to show you, give you an idea of the different types of baits that can appear.
Paul settled in from the guardrail angler aspect. Look at him. Oh, I mean, he's dropping it.
Well, here's the cool thing, though.
We've
done pro boxes. We do a lot of pro boxes. But tonight, this is an elite box. This is the juice.
It's the red box.
It's the red box.
Let's not play.
Super juice, dude.
Each bait's probably 9,
Paul,
10 bucks
Paul, what you doing?
Retail.
Picking like 10 things out of
No, I'm just looking. Oh, okay. I haven't made up my mind yet, man.
Paul's very well thought out,
all right, you know what? You know what?
Yeah, whatever.
Here's what I'm picking. All right.
Brian, you got yours?
Yeah, Brian.
Oh,
pass
got
back
his.
Over this way.
Okay. Yeah, he got his.
I got second pick, bro. What do you got, Paul?
Pick one thing.
I got the Team Arc TS-115.
Oh.
It is a...
Arc?
Yeah. Topwater slider. It looks like a walk the dog pencil popper.
Ooh.
Arc.
It's topwater season.
Wow.
So stick it in front of Brian's face.
I want to see that. Can I see
number
that?
Number one.
No, so people can see it.
Yeah, Paul. I want to see that.
Hark, who goes there?
All right, maybe next we fire Paul from first opening.
Oh, I kind of like that. Three hooks on it?
Let me see that.
Nice looking topwater bait.
Smallmouth bait?
I mean.
That's a midnight bait right there. I'll be throwing that at midnight.
What is that?
Little cup to the mouth.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I couldn't tell if that was a crankbait
or a crankbait. Paul is absolutely throwing this while the rest of us are dealing with our rotten fucking kids.
I know.
Three hooks, black head, white body. Paul's he's lucky. Killing it.
What do you got? What do you got?
And he's, dude, this spook, it's a spook looking bait. It's a walker, and it's amazing looking,
walker,
bro.
But it's got a little, it does have a little cup to the mouth.
Three hooks, Just great hooks, very sticky.
Yeah.
While the rest of us are dealing with life, Paul's fishing with this at 11 o'clock at night.
So miserable,
Dave. Hearing blow-ups.
No, I'm not ripping on you. I'm jealous. Don't mistake my envy for insult.
Yeah, Paul. You can't come in here all single and shit. And, you
and know. Self-conscious.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, pick one.
Yeah, pick one. Self-conscious or single, all right?
I like the way they have it weighted.
Piss.
I'm in the gray area, Dave. I'm in the gray area.
No, you're not. Nope. You're single as shit, and you fish at night.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah.
Embrace it, because everyone loves you,
you
for that.
You have no stress right now. Ain't
no,
nobody,
none.
Nobody's like, hey, where you at?
The worst part of your day, Paul, is worrying about whether a red light's going to make you 10 minutes early or 11 minutes early. All right, that's about it.
All right, Brian, what do you got?
Oh, man.
All right, what do you got?
10 minutes early or 11 minutes
11
early?
11 minutes early. It's a big difference. That's
that,
a minute.
No, that motherfucker's early. Lot. You know he is, man. Here. He ain't late.
Jesus Christ.
He's waiting for the time clock. Everybody else is rushing in, sweaty.
10 minutes.
Paul's been there.
Sweaty, wet, nervous, panicking.
Paul's time card in his hand, dry, waiting to punch.
Streaks.
Oh, what do you
Z-Man
got,
streaks.
Streaks.
It's a little fluky.
Elastic?
Flukity fluke, yeah.
Hell dude. Yeah.
Yeah, flukity fluke. Badass. Dude, there's some good stuff in this box. Do I have to give it up? Is that what it is?
Yeah. You
got
to
give it up.
Pass it over to me and Dave. All get right. Some stuff out of
yeah,
it.
We're going
to
light that box
Mike,
up.
Mike, I'll pass you the box if you pass me that bait back.
Yeah, you need this bait. Dude, I'm telling you. That, honestly, that's juice. You.
I like that.
That
bait a lot.
You need to keep that and throw
I like that bait a lot.
I want to hear reports, Paul, from
Paul.
That one. Because that one looks take, right.
Yeah, Paul, or on the water correspondence.
Yeah.
Very necessary
that
for that bait.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, keep that, Paul. That looks freaking
I wouldn't throw
phenomenal.
Anything more than 12 mono, though, dude.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Man, that's weird.
Paul!
I'm on this rod. What?
You have to talk into the microphone.
It's all right.
Wow. Dave, this what? Box is loaded.
No, that box is dude. Jacked, dude. I can already tell what these two dudes already jacked off of it.
Jacked off.
Yo, give me it. Check out that crankbait in that right-hand corner.
Yes.
I'm on it. Let me put this whiskey
There's
down.
There's a couple of crankbaits up in there.
That one with the real flat, like Lazy Ike looking flat.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so I got four choices of – I got really good – oh, my, what's this swim jig? Oh, yeah, let me get my glasses on for this one. I want to be able to read who the manufacturer is. Sorry, young people who don't need glasses to see shit. My apologies. All right. Dude, this box is banging.
That box is – this.
No, I am absolutely vetoing what you made me have to select, and I'm going my own way, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Lord,
I'm going with a $20 crankbait.
Ooh.
Easy.
Really?
Good. You do you first.
Okay. I actually picked I thought this was interesting. This is Euro Tackle Finesse Meta Crawl. Here's the thing I like about this, Brian the Carpenter. The crawl size. You ready for this, Dave? 2.4 inches.
Back in the Betsy jig.
Dude. Tiny.
Give
2.4.
Look at that.
Forward
2.4,
to
dude.
Me.
Stop.
Wow.
Interesting.
Hold on.
Small.
Mike, more
small.
Importantly, what's the most important thing about this? Feel the middle.
Muy pequeño.
How far are you skipping with a finesse jig with that?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that the thickness of that bait, you are bouncing that thing for miles, dude.
Want a little jig?
Who makes that?
This is Euro Tackle.
Dirt box bitches.
Let me see the box.
Euro
You're
Tackle.
Fucking Brian.
Oh, wait a minute. Euro Tackle. Made in Russia.
Give me it.
Oh, boy.
I'm all about Putin right now. I don't give a fuck what all you fucking twats say. Let me see. Hold on.
Made in Russia.
It ain't made in Russia.
That's what it says.
Oh, it does say made. Yeah. Euro Tackle. Finesse. Metacraw. Pheromone. Pheromone scented.
Pheromones.
Technology.
Pheromones.
Put the helmet on, Dave.
Don't you doubt the technology.
It's Euro Crawl.
It will be at your own demise.
What would you, Stormtrooper, what would you, how would you rig this, Stormtrooper? Would you,
oh boy.
Trailer or Texas or?
I would most gladly rig it on the back of a bitchy jig. 8 ounce to skip absolutely accurately. Next question.
Do you feel like you could catch multi-species?
Yes. I will catch the walleye. I will catch the pickerel. And I will catch the smallmouth and the largemouth bass with said bait.
Oh, okay.
Next question.
Color-wise, what
black.
Do you think about this? Black? Black blue?
Absolutely black blue or watermelon would be most advantageous for the situation of catching fish. Next question.
Last question. You have no problems with this bait being made in Russia.
None. Vladimir Putin is cleaning out his deep state in Ukraine. Biolabs cleaned out. Body part labs cleaned out. All of the money laundering scams that the American deep state has been using through Ukraine is no more because of Putin. Next question.
I don't have any more questions. Paul, you have any questions? Coming through the IM.
As soon as Brian gets done over here.
Brian, do you have any questions for Stormtrooper?
Paul, in my country, you would have been thrown off a cliff. Next question.
That wasn't even a question, but okay. There was no pending question.
Yeah, that's what would happen. No games.
Information Paul? Or no information, Dave?
What?
Information. Or no.
What information are you looking for specifically?
Is it gray?
Ask the question.
Gray information.
Gray? What gray area would you like to speak about? Would you like to speak about time travel? Would you like to speak about the Clintons? What would you like to speak about? Would you like to speak about the Clintons and Epstein Island? What? What are you asking me?
Google.
Google all the questions. Time travel is what Brian is hinting to. So, here's an interesting fact. In 1993, before the internet, Brian and I and Mike were at the Pennant, a bar,
with
cover bands, and there was a man with long hair, a half shirt, that said, "What is Google?" 1993, "What is Google?" He was dancing around, very, 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 very funny, very fruity. And he said, "What is Google?" No one knew what Google was back then. He's a time traveler, people. Understands that.
Huh.
The CIA has 8 methods of time travel. One is called Chronovision, taken from the Vatican, taken by the CIA, where they can see every time and date through a screen. Fact.
Huh.
Questions.
Really?
Yes.
I kind of remember the Pennant Google guy.
1993. Before anyone had the ability to type it in, he is dancing to cover bands in front of all of us in plain sight with a t-shirt that says, "What is Google?"
What is Google?
Huh.
Time travel.
Wow, this is interesting.
It's very interesting because here's the fact. The Vatican has figured out time travel many years ago. There is a doctor named, he's a judge actually, named Dr. Al Weber.
Al
Weber? A judge in New York. He was former EPA of New York City. He has been contacted by a travel agent from 1971. And this agent captured some of his books. He's an author about time travel. Chronovision is the method in which they see the future. Every single date and time and second is recorded.
Huh.
Make no mistakes. They use it as a method to make sure that...
It's like LiveScope.
Like LiveScope, yeah.
Think Fred Claus. Then he was looking at the little kid with the dog. They have that ability... Hollywood is controlled by the CIA.
What?
Please Google Mockingbird Media. Google Operation Mockingbird. And you will find... and you will find that... I know it's all funny and unbelievable, but listen to me closely.
Operation Mockingbird
was a real thing. And in this current day, at 4:04:30, the Mockingbird Meteor gets their marching orders. It is no coincidence that they all report on the same thing every day at 4:30 in the morning. It all comes about. Oh, we're like, oh, my God, global warming, temperatures are no warmer now than they were in 1972, than they were 2,000 years ago, when New Jersey was under a mile of ice. There was the SUVs to melt the ice in. There was none. It's all a lie. Oh. You're all being fooled, you sheep, you stupid sheep. You friggin' stupid sheep. You watch the news. You're stupid. I can't stand you. Huh. If I was deep state, there'd be no runny nose virus. I would have eliminated all you sheep. Can we go to a commercial?
Oh, my God.
But... you know what?
This is a perfect time to end the show forever.
Forever.
It is right here.
Not just for tonight.
No.
Forever. Forever.
You're wrong. You're wrong, Brian Zacarpenter. Honestly,
yeah. I feel like the guest that we had on tonight, and then this, it's a perfect time.
Yeah. It can't get any better.
I think that we should end every show with a "This is goodbye forever," yeah, just in case.
Pretty good. This is like my when I look at my career, this is like my Delaware River win. Okay. I should have just ended it there. But I kept going.
The question is Ike alive? That's the new show. Is Ike alive? But I am so stroked on this Lucky Craft Crimey. You can get this if you subscribe to the Mystery Tackle Box. Dope shit.
Oh, that's
stacked.
Actually a good color. Dude.
That's what? A good bait.
Whoa. Yeah.
Takuhiro Mori
can
with his $7,000 smile.
Damn. Wow. What a color pattern.
He gave very many, many, many dollars for that smile.
Holy hell.
He's not playing. Flake. There's not many Flake. Braces running around. Brian, you should just do a
wow.
Can you zoom on Mike?
No, keep going. No. Stop it.
All right, I will keep going. Mike, what do you want to talk about? Mike, would you like to talk about time travel? It's a deep state.
Let's get Travis Manson on.
Where's Travis Manson?
Crush.
He has sent me satanic information that I would like to purse out of him.
Smallmouth Crush?
Yes, he has.
Huh.
Most disinformational to the teachings of Jesus.
What?
Yes.
Huh. Damn, that's a hot crankbait.
That's a good looking crankbait.
I like
they will freaking eat that.
I like the range of the lip.
Wow.
Puts it in the...
yeah, it's a four-footer, right?
The three-meter range.
All right, so what do we learn tonight? Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, okay. It was a good show. And
I had a great time.
It was a great time. We had some great guests.
Yeah.
So the miners were great, of course.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What a beautiful story, man. Father with his two sons there.
Awesome story.
Raised them right.
Yes.
Grew up in Richmond.
Yes.
Or wherever they did.
Yep.
With the Richards.
They were southwestern Virginia, as they said, Brian.
Yes. Yes. And then, of course, Lewis and Michael were awesome. They were great.
That's right.
The Illuminati. Yeah.
Illuminati was great.
Illuminati and
great story.
Mike Fugazi.
And here's the other big news, Brian. We had appearances from Brian's ghost and Stormtrooper.
Stormtrooper.
Brian?
Long time. That's it.
We are in an omniverse.
Yes.
And one must understand the omniverse. Yeah. To understand said omniverse, one must first go to Albert Weber's website, Omniverse. And there you see that we are in a fabric of bent time. So to predict the very simple Brian the Carpenter's future behaviors is not very much a stretch. It's very much accepted, and it's a normal stuff, everyday stuff. All right? So let's not stop playing.
Man.
His merch venture will exceed the expectations of Calibate Paul.
I ain't even got any merch, man. Cut me some slack.
Not yet.
Jumping guardrails, skirting responsibilities of breeding for future productivity. He's just being the guy we all wish we were.
Oh, shit. We got to pick a winner.
Who won?
Okay. We're going to pick a winner of the Ike Live like and share contest on Facebook. And remember, all we asked you to do was like and share the feed. If you did that, your names were entered in a contest. And we will randomly select one name right now. We're using the randomizer as I'm speaking. And Brian, our winner of the Ike Live Facebook.
May I feel the bag, please?
Keep like and share feed.
Keep saying words.
Stormtrooper's feeling it.
Easily 25 kilograms.
Right. 25 kilos. How many pounds is that?
Yo, 50 pounds. Yo, Mike, last show, me and Pete were both holding that, and that ain't no 25 pounds.
Oh, whoa.
That ain't 25 pounds.
But as for me, Paul, you will toe the line you are told.
Well,
and you
it's
will
not 25, off. It's close to 20.
Oh,
give me that.
Oh, okay.
Give me close to 20.
Okay.
Last for me, Paul B. Paul.
All right. What we need is a Normark scale to actually weigh this. It's heavy.
Easily 25 kilos.
Yeah. It's heavy. But
who won?
Our winner tonight of the Ike Live like and share contest on Facebook is...
Bob Dabalina.
Bob Dabalina!
Sounds like a guinea.
Mr. Dabalina.
Sounds like a rap song, but...
Mr. Okay. Bob Dabalina.
Bob,
I don't trust the name.
Bob, please forward your info through. We won't share it on the feed. Please send your info through, and we'll get you the Ike Live, world-famous Ike Live gift.
Congratulations,
It might
Bob.
Not be Bob, but I'm trying desperately to figure out the
Robert Domolino did not win.
All right, Bright, we want to thank all our guests on tonight. Thank you guys for coming on. We want to thank everybody for watching. It's awesome
thank
show.
You.
Stormtrooper, thank Dave for us. It was
thank
great
you for having
Dave
me.
Here.
I love being here.
Paul, thank you for handling the IM duties tonight. Appreciate that. It's great having you in the studio. Brian
don't
Barber,
love Paul.
Appreciate it. Where can people get the merch, Brian?
They can't.
BrianDeCarpenter.com.
I would love to.
Angler Unit. Angler Unit. That's Chris. He made the logo.
AnglerUnit.com?
Yeah, he made the logo. He sent me the shirt.
AnglerUnit.com.
I would rather wear a Biden-Harris t-shirt.
That's low.
That's some dirty shit, bro.
Wow, that's the worst insult
Klingons
of the night.
Klingons a Biden.
I mean,
Oh man,
come on.
Hope everybody has a wonderful remainder of a Saturday. What do we got? An hour left, and hope you have a great remainder of the weekend. And we'll see you on the next show. Hopefully sooner than 2 months.
Goodbye, sheep.
Yeah,
hold
Good
on.
Night, everybody.
Hold on. Wait. What? Wait. Keep talking.
No.
What should I say to the sheep? Should I say that if I was a Vanderbilt, what would I do?
Dave, say something cool so Mike doesn't keep doing that. Fuck. All right, never mind.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
How do you
Please
know how to turn off?